your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know. Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM. Where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Good morning and welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Now for today's show, here's attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Good morning. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Ethel Mitchell. And I welcome you today. I welcome all who are listening live on Radio 1, 1450 AM, and over the internet at wwoldcnews.com and at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. I have some sad news today. One of the members of the WOL family is very, very sick, and his family has given me permission to ask for your prayers. The Mo Better Man, who so many of us have been helped by, he was the first person to have me on the radio. He's helped so many people. He's been with Miss Hughes since almost the beginning, I understand. He's very, very sick, and so I'm asking all of those, all of you out there listening who are listeners of her, of his, to include him in your prayers, to put him on your prayer calls, prayer list. To have your churches say prayers for him, because he's an important part of this community and he's given so much to so many people over the years. So again, please, I'm asking for your prayers. His family has asked, has given me permission to do so for the Mo Better Man. Okay? So now, today, we are going to talk about law. We're going to be discussing different ways of holding property, holding title to deeds, beneficiary designations, gifting, things that people can do to protect themselves and to get property to the place that you want it to go to, but still protecting your own interest in it while you're doing it along the way. So we've got a very good program for you today. I want you to listen up and learn. The program is brought to you by my law offices. Called Wills and Trust, LLC, where I prepare wills, trust, power of attorneys, medical directives. I assist people with administering trust and administering estates. So give me a call at 202-772-1988. Again, that's 202-772-1988. That's all I do, actually. So, and I really enjoy it. Each person is different. Each family is really quite different. And I try to take the time and listen and personalize your documents so that they really suit you, because they're very, very important. Law is really powerful. It helps you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything that we do. What you don't know can really hurt you, but what you do know can empower you. Each week, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell aims to empower you by bringing you information to enlighten you and to direct you in how to manage your affairs. All of our programs are archived on lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. So if you missed a program, go there, and the programs are posted within 72 hours of their airing. We really want you to be part of the conversation, so please give us a call if you have any questions about wills, trust, estate planning, the subjects that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, designations, different kinds of deeds, and so forth. My executive producer, Stacy Royster, is standing by to take your calls or your comments. You can call us at WOL's number, 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. You can tweet us at Law Talk EM. And like us and have a conversation with us also on Facebook, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell on Facebook. But first, I must remind you that what you hear on this program is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything said on this program. Each person's circumstances are different, and you must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. So let's get started. During some of my previous shows, we have talked about the basic documents that everybody needs to have. Regardless of what you hear me say for the rest of the program, you still need to have a power of attorney, you need to have the advanced medical directives, and you need to have a last will and testament. Some of you would do well to have a trust as well, but not everyone needs to have a trust. So when we sit down and talk, I can tell you what is best for you, and then you can make the decision as to what you want me to prepare. But I've decided today to dedicate today's program in informing and in educating you about different ways of holding title to property, what the different ways are, what they mean, and some practical applications of those. So now I'm going to flip the script, or as we say here on the program, I'm going to flip the mic, and my executive producer is going to have a conversation with me.
Well, good morning, Ethel.
Good morning, Stacey.
So for those of you who are first-time listeners, perhaps, I want to just tell you a little bit about our host and our guest expert for today. She is attorney Ethel Mitchell. With more than 20 years of legal experience, she has distinguished herself as a leading practitioner focusing on wills, trusts, estate planning, and probate. She is a sought-after legal advisor and frequent legal affairs orator. Ms. Mitchell is a member of the Bar Associations of Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Texas, United States, Virgin Islands, and Ghana. Attorney Mitchell completed undergraduate studies at Fisk University, and she received her Juris Doctorate degree from Columbia Law School and then served as law clerk to Chief Judge Christian in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. A consummate believer in continued learning and exchange of ideas, Attorney Mitchell recently attended the National Bar Association's annual convention in Atlanta, and in May of this year, she participated in the American Bar Association's Advanced Skills for Estate Planners course held at the New York University School of Law. Thank you, Ethel, for sharing your expertise once again with your listeners.
My pleasure, really.
So, as Ethel mentioned, she's been discussing throughout the launch of the show since February, various ways that people can use the law to proactively help themselves. Mm-hmm. And in your area of expertise, we want to just delve a little deeper and talk about first, you know, what are some of the ways that you can hold title to a deed?
Okay. Let me first make clear. When I say a deed, I'm talking about the title document that says who owns land or houses, okay? One of the first things I want to make very clear, when you own the land, you own everything on top of the land. Some people have the mistaken notion that one person owns land and somebody else owns the house, but no. If you own the land, you own the house and anything else that's on top of it. We're very familiar with what's called joint tenancy by the entirety. Mm-hmm. That's where a husband and wife, or I guess in now with same-sex couples, whoever's married, can own property as joint tenants with joint tenancies, tenants by the entirety. Mm-hmm. What that means is that when one person dies, the other one owns the house outright and the land, okay? So that is the most common form of ownership when you are married. It may not be appropriate, however, if you are in a blended family, mm-hmm. or if for any reason you really want to separate your ownership interest in the house. Say you're a blended family, each of you have children separate and apart from each other, and your intention is that Your children get your share. His children gets his share. Then what you do is you own it as tenants in common. What that means is you each own an undivided share of the property. And when one dies, your heirs continue to have your interest in the property.
And can you designate a certain percentage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, people commonly talk about heir property. Mm-hmm. People hear that all the time. And what you are, if you own a share of heir property, is you are tenants in common with everybody else that owns a share of that heir property, you see.
Okay.
Because you can be related or unrelated. It doesn't really matter. It could be anybody. I have clients who have business interests with other people. They're not related to them, but they own in percentages a share. Sometimes it's equal, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it can be 300-400 people. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that you each retain your interest in the property at your death. Okay? At least your heirs do. And when I say heirs, I mean whoever you want to leave the property to. If you do a will, then it goes by your will. If you don't do a will, then it goes by intestacy.
Okay.
But it remains yours. Okay.
Well, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
Be sure to tune into Law Talk with Attorney Ethel Mitchell this Saturday morning at her new time, 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. It's now one full hour of great guests, great information, and lots of great law talk. So this Saturday, be sure to join Attorney Ethel Mitchell for another exciting show. To reach Attorney Mitchell, you may do so by calling 202-772-1988 or log on to www.lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com.
When my girlfriend of 2 years asked me what my 5-year plan was, I should have known to include her in it. I did not. Now I know. Just like I really should have known that GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. 75 years! I had no idea they'd been around that long. I also should have known that they're the number one auto insurer in Washington, D.C. We should all know these things. Now I know. And now you know. And now I'm single. Know anyone?
GEICO, celebrating over 75 years of great savings and great service.
Now that you know GEICO has been around for over 75 years, it's time to let you in on another little secret. GEICO could help you save on motorcycle and RV coverage, and they offer special military and federal discounts. Not to mention the GEICO Insurance Agency could help you save money on homeowners and renters coverage. But this is no secret. Tell someone. Tell everyone. Be the worst secret keeper ever. Spread it faster than a middle school rumor.
GEICO, more than just car insurance. To see how much you could save, visit geico.com today.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save...
Your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911, F-A-S-T. Face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of...
Your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say. We want you to be okay. Enroll, we say. Take care, people, for goodness sake.
Health insurance is now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, and preventive care. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn more.
And take care, people.
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Good morning and welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. This is Stacey Royster, executive producer and guest host for today. And this morning we are actually speaking with our host, our expert attorney, Ethel Mitchell. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So Attorney Mitchell has been discussing various ways of holding title to a deed,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to continue that discussion. And Ethel, mm-hmm. I know you wanted to talk about joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
Yes. I had talked a little bit about it when you're married and as tenants by the entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you some examples of ways that people can use joint tenants with rights of survivorship if they're not married.
Okay.
Let's say that you and your brother and your sister owned a the family house, because a lot of people still own family houses. And your intention is really that if one of you died, the other one would get it. So, or let's say you have a child or a grandchild that you want to have this property, but you don't want to give it up while you're alive. You want to continue to have ownership of it along with this person. You're not ready to give it to them right now. You don't want to give it to them and risk losing it, because one of the things that's important for people to understand, when you put somebody's name on your deed in any way, they have to agree to take it off.
Oh.
Yes. Hello. A lot of people don't realize that. They say, oh, well,
if they don't agree,
you're stuck. Mm. Okay? A lot of married people will put their new spouse's name on their deed, and they get divorced and they can't get the name off the deed.
Now, it gets tricky though, because what if that person's, if the house isn't paid off, but mm-hmm. their name is not on the loan per se?
Hello.
You're still
stuck with
responsible
the
loan. For the loan,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. part of that house belongs to them because mm-hmm. their name is on the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Yeah, and that happens. That happens a lot more than you would expect. But let's say that you want to ultimately give your property. You don't mind sharing the property. And what you want to make sure of is that you can get that property to who you want. They're an adult. They're responsible. Because also remember another important thing. When you put somebody's name on the deed, then their creditors can come after that property as well.
Important to know.
Important to know. So, but let's say that's all cool. Mm-hmm. You trust your child. You know, they're adults. You never put a minor child's name on a deed. Okay, please don't do that. But you decide, okay, I want my child to have this this property when I die. And they're responsible. I'm comfortable doing it. I know that they're going to treat me right, but I want to make sure that it never, if they die, it doesn't go to their heirs. If they die when I'm alive,
mm-hmm.
you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want it to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you do is you put yourself and your adult child's name on the deed as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. And that rights of survivorship means that if, God forbid, your adult child died before you,
mm-hmm.
the ownership would still be yours. Okay?
Okay.
It's a very good, easy way to, one, protect your own interest in the property with somebody that you do trust, but to get it to them without having to go through probate, which is another big deal. A lot of people want to avoid that. So as long as you're comfortable that you don't mind them getting the property in their name, you don't mind that their name's going to be on that property for the
mm-hmm.
rest of your life and their life unless they agree otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and you do want them to get the property, you can do it as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. And you do not have to be related. You can be. I have a lot of clients who are maybe sisters who live together, mm-hmm. or brothers who may, maybe one brother has the house, but it was really the family house, the house that mother lived in and so on. Mm-hmm. But he's always been there. Mother gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, he may decide he wants his brothers to have that house.
Okay.
You can deed it to them. You can put their name on the deed as joint tenants with rights of survivorship. You can, of course, do it through a will. But it's a way of getting property to a lot of grandparents come in for that. Grandmothers may say, I want this grandchild to have this property. And I'll say to them, you know, I don't like doing it unless both are really mature. I prefer doing it when the person who's always owned it is a bit older, mm-hmm. because they're less likely to change their minds, okay? But they're still protected. So if the child dies before them, it's still theirs, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's really important that you understand that to some extent you lose control of the property at that point, okay? But that's joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Tenants in common, I explained, is each has an individual interest in the property. If you're going to do this in a marriage or in a situation where somebody is living in the property, mm-hmm. And you don't want them to be put out, but if you die first, then what you do is you say, I get myself and my sister will own this as tenants in common, and when I die, if my sister's still alive, even though my heirs will get my share, I'm giving my sister a life estate in the property.
So throughout her lifetime?
Her lifetime, my heirs can't put her out.
Good.
Okay? So that way you are ensuring that the other person has a place to live until they die, and then their heirs can get their share. Okay? The life estate is a very useful tool. It can be used to protect, whether it's in joint tenancy, tenants in common, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't really use it very well in joint tenancy, though, now that I think about it. But in tenants in common, because a lot of times we have families where somebody has always lived in the house, or somebody has moved back into the house, or somebody is disabled or are unable to manage on their own. You want to make sure that they have a place to live. Mm-hmm. But you don't want them to be the only one to own the house. Maybe they're not responsible with money. Maybe they're incapable of managing money. But you want to make sure they have a roof over their head. One of the ways to do that is, even if you don't put their name on the deed, you can say this property is what we call burdened by a life estate for the benefit of this person. So even though you may give it to somebody else, maybe through your deed or through your trust, through your will, you can still say, as long as my child who has cerebral palsy, or my daughter who may have a drug problem, or whatever the reason may be, they have a right to live in that house. And then when they die, whoever else you want to get it will get it. Okay, and that's called the remainder. And it's a really effective way. I've used it for sisters. I've used it for, you know, husband and wife. I've used it for a lot of situations where people have families that they want to protect. And it's important to protect them, because
very
you may
important.
Think that they're not going to put them out. But as soon as you die, I have seen families turn into wolves.
It's often said,
yes.
Death brings out the worst
yeah.
in folks, unfortunately.
People want that money. And if you in the way, and nobody has protected you legally, or you haven't made protections for people who need protection in your property, it's a fight.
This is very important, Ethel, because I know that even in my own household, we grow up thinking or assuming
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if the husband dies, the wife automatically gets the property. And that's not the case
not
in
always
many states.
True.
Or it automatically goes to the children, or it automatically.
Not
know, so,
all the time.
So I'm hearing it loud and clear,
mm-hmm.
and everybody should be listening up.
Yeah.
You've got to have your business straight to
really
protect
do.
Yourself and your
you
loved
You really
ones.
Need to use the law proactively. And it comes up with stepchildren. It comes up with step-parents. it comes up. I keep going back to grandparents because I've seen situations where grandchildren never knew anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when the grandmother died, the children put them out. I mean, the children of the grandmother put the grandchildren out.
Oh, my. And then another.
And you know that's not what she would have wanted.
I guess another area, you mentioned blended families.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, illegitimate versus legitimate grandchildren.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
So sometimes that grandmother may say, only my blood grandchildren
you
should
have a right to do that.
X.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they can choose all, or however they want to designate.
But they got to put it in writing. They've got to put it in a will. They've got to put it in a trust. They've got to put it in a deed or some kind of document that is enforceable in the court to make sure that what you want to have happen will happen.
Well,
because even though we may be scared, they'll come back and get us. They, you know, if it's important enough to make sure that those that you've loved and cared for all your life will be protected even when you die, it's really important to take care of this.
Yes. Now, what about transfer on death deeds? How are they
helpful? That's a new thing in D.C. and Virginia that's very helpful. Until now, even if you had a will, you had to probate that will to get property from a deceased person to a live, you know, to their heirs or to a live person, unless your deed said certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, D.C. and Virginia, it's coming out now that people are knowing more about it, that you can do what's called a transfer on death deed. And what that does is it says, it's an actual deed that's actually recorded. And it says, when I die, this is who I want to own this property. And it happens automatically. It can be revoked. It can be changed. It has to be done in writing while you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do anything, you can't just tear up the deed, by the way. You can't just, you know, strike out the deed. You have to actually revoke it in writing, okay? But it acts without having to go to court.
Very helpful. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Attorney Ethel Mitchell.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures. A stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn today
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a
football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just gonna keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
And welcome back to Law Talk with Attorney Ethel Mitchell. This is Stacey Royster, guest host for today, and I'm interviewing, we flip the mic as we say, I'm interviewing host and our guest for today, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. We're talking about various ways of owning title or holding title to a deed. We do have a caller. We'd like to go ahead and take a call right before we go back to Attorney Mitchell. Okay. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I saw a new law passed here in D.C., March 2013. I don't think it's referring to transfer on death deed. It mentions heir property does not go into probate. You can request within the year of the deceased to put heir property out of probate.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm not familiar with that. If you give me a call at the office and give me more details, I promise I'll look it up for you.
Oh,
but I don't know of a law that allows you to take something out of probate if it hasn't gone through the process, so to speak. Okay.
Okay.
And especially when it comes to heir property, it's a real, probate is kind of the way you have to go. You can certainly make agreements among yourselves, you can do an agreement that title goes a certain way among all the heirs, but you need the court to really establish who the heirs are. So, and again, it depends on what state you're in, too, because Virginia has an entirely different way of approaching heir property from Maryland and D.C.
This is D.C., And there's an affidavit you can file of heirship. It's some affidavit of heirship or something you can file that bypasses probate.
I tell you what, give me a call at 202-772-1988, and I will take down the information and find out and then get back to you. I know in Texas, where I used to practice and where I was born, actually, there is a procedure where you can do an affidavit of heirship as the part of the title establishment for property, because I remember doing it with my grandmother. But in D.C., I'm not as familiar with that process at all. But I will look it up, and then I'll be glad to share the information. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, Ethel, right before the break, we were, again, continuing our conversation about various ways to hold title to a deed. And I know there are a couple more points you wanted to make about that process.
Right. In Maryland, I said the transfer on death deed is D.C. and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland has what's called an enhanced life estate deed. Usually when you do a life estate deed, what you're talking about is you give to someone else your property, but reserve to yourself a life estate in that property. In other words, you're reserving the right to live in that property until you die, and then when you die, the property goes to somebody else. Mm-hmm. As a legal matter, that is a different thing from a transfer on death deed, because you have already transferred the title by that deed, a life estate deed, where you and you say, somebody else owns it, I'm just going to stay in it for the rest of my life.
Interesting.
Okay. Maryland has what's called an enhanced life estate deed, which allows you to reserve many of the rights that you would normally have or you have as an owner. In other words, even though you've done this enhanced life estate deed, you retain the right to transfer it, to sell it, to do different things like that. And that's kind of the way Maryland deals with it, which is almost diametrically opposed, different from a legal position than the transfer on death deed, where title doesn't pass until you actually die.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's an important distinction. But each state is different. The state governs property rights. So that's why it's important, if you own property in a particular state, to have a lawyer in that state tell you what needs to be done for that property. Okay, and that's an important thing to know. That's how law works here.
Very important.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, did you want to say a word about deeds into your trust?
Yes, if you have a trust and you want your house to be, or whatever property it might be, to be transferred through your trust.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're trying to avoid probate by doing the trust. That's one of the things you want to do. You must have a deed from yourself to yourself as trustee of your trust. Okay? So what that does is it actually changes the title to yourself as trustee of your trust. And that's really how you manage property in a trust. When that is done, then if you die or if you get sick and your successor trustee needs to sell your house or whatever, it's already in the trust and the trustee can manage it. So, for example, a lot of times I'll prepare a trust for somebody and then I'll do a deed and record the deed that says from that person to herself or himself as trustee of their trust. When they die, their successor, who they've also named, is told in the trust who that property belongs to. And on several occasions, I've been able to just transfer by doing a deed from the now successor trustee, perhaps to themselves or to whoever you said, and all that property, you know, they write the check from the checking account of the trust, and it just goes without having to go to probate, without having to publish, without having to do anything.
Wow. I mean, that's creative and clean.
It's much easier. It's much cleaner. They just don't know. Now, you know, the trust has to pay your bills. You can't get out of it. I'm talking about revocable trust now, okay? You have to pay your bills. You can't get out of your own debts and so forth. But, in fact, putting your deed into your trust is an important step, and it's a step that's often not done when people try to use these form trusts. You know, they don't tell you that you have to actually do a deed from yourself to yourself as trustee. Or they'll say it in a long letter and nobody pays attention to it and you're not lawyers and you never do it.
In the fine print, you don't get it.
Oh, yeah. And you still need a will with a trust. People don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about deeds now. So, yes, you want to do a deed to your trust. One other thing I need to say is that a deed is the document when you purchase or it says that you own something. It is different from a deed of trust. A deed of trust is really the old term for a mortgage. And a lot of times I tell people, bring me your deed so I can look at it, and they bring in the deed of trust. That is not your deed. That's your mortgage.
Mm.
Okay. So
there is a difference.
There is a big difference.
Wow, yes, this is very enlightening. Thank you, Ethel. I know many of you are learning as am I.
Please call me. Let me look at these things for you, even if you just want to come in and have a consultation. I tell people, bring me your deeds. A lot of times they don't say what you think they said.
Mm-hmm. You know, or mama told you something, but it wasn't put down that way.
Right.
You know, and
or they
and,
could have changed you from the time that they
exactly.
expressed it.
Exactly.
Right?
So if and that's why I tell people, you know, you may come for me to see do your deed, but I really try to do real estate planning for my clients. And so knowing the title to your property is important. You need to know that and what it means also.
Great. So let's shift a little bit, Ethel, and talk about payable on death beneficiary designations for bank accounts and life insurance. How are they different and how are they helpful?
They can be extremely helpful because, again, as long as it's not a child, it's a very easy way to get money to the persons that you want when you die without having to go through probate. All banks and all financial institutions have payable on death beneficiary designations. They call in the bank, they call them POD. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you just put down, when I die, this is who I want to get my stuff.
So everything that's in that account.
Everything that's in that
regardless
account.
Regardless of what your will says.
Regardless of what your will says.
Okay.
It's a contract between you and the bank. And so when you die, the only thing that bank needs is a death certificate and the identification of the persons that you have named as beneficiaries. Okay? Same thing with life insurance policies. I don't care what you said in your will. If your life insurance designation says something different, that's a contract you made with the insurance company. And always when people come to me and they have life insurance policies, I ask them to bring their beneficiary designations. Sometimes they can't find them. Sometimes we just do another one. Nowadays, you can go online and get the beneficiary designation forms.
And update them.
Update them. Because a lot of people started working when they were 18. They never changed them.
Mm-hmm.
They just never thought about it. They never or they did, and somebody that they named has died. You know, if so, you need to update them and make sure they're saying what you want them to say.
Or in the case of a divorce, you may want to make sure that you've changed all that stuff.
Yeah, you do want to make sure. You do want to make sure. There are a few states, and I'm not going to name them, there are a few states will automatically void it if you get a divorce. And I don't want to say, and one of them is here, but I don't want to say which one it is because I'm not sure, okay? But just make sure yourself and get it in writing. Get it in writing.
And what about transfer on death designations for brokerage accounts? Are they different?
Only in their name. They're called TOD mm-hmm. instead of POD. In a brokerage, you have a brokerage account. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. And it's called a TOD, transfer on death.
See, I was about to say time of death.
No.
Okay.
No.
See, the non-attorney folks, we don't know.
It's transfer on death.
Okay.
Another thing that people don't realize while we're talking about these things is that all banks have power of attorney forms mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So if you want somebody to be able to sign on your account but not have ownership of your account, you can take them down to the bank with you and sign a power of attorney form with the bank, at the bank, that thereby authorizing them to sign your checks. It doesn't have any effect anywhere else, but at least with respect to your account in that bank, that allows them to be able to sign on your checks. And that's important, especially for older people who are accustomed to having somebody else help them with their medicine, mm-hmm. you know, help them pay for their bills. They go to the grocery store and so on like that. It's a way of empowering them to properly sign your checks. A lot of people do it. They're not supposed to. But, you know, they can sign the checks and yet not have their names on your accounts where their creditors can get into your money.
That's very important.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Ethel, what should people know about gifting money to particularly children or charities? So let's first maybe talk about gifting to children.
Well, let's start with talking about gifting, period.
Okay.
You have the ability to gift up to $14,000 a year to anybody without having to file a gift tax return. If you give someone more than $14,000 in a year, you are supposed to file a gift tax return with Uncle Sam, okay? So when you give your child your house, when you give somebody a car, and it's worth anything that's more than $14,000, you should notify your accountant and they file what's called a gift tax return at that point. Doesn't mean that you have to pay a gift tax, but you have to, or you're supposed to file the gift tax return. And that's important because a lot of people don't realize that. Now, we're not talking about you have a child, you're paying for them to go to college. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different thing, okay? If you, there are two exceptions to this. If you are, let's say, a grandparent, not somebody who's legally responsible for the child's education, but you want to give money for the child to go to school. You want to pay their tuition, or you want to contribute to their tuition. And it's going to be more than that $14,000. What you best do is if you give it directly to the school, in other words, if you pay the check directly to the university for that person, or to whatever school, whatever educational institution it is, then you do not have to report that as a gift tax. It is not, there's no gift tax on it. Okay? Same thing if, God forbid, somebody is sick and you want to help with their hospital bill. You can pay directly to the hospital. And again, there, that is an exception to the gift tax rule. Okay?
That's very important to
know. But that's important to know. It really is. Because a lot of people, you know, they win some money at the lottery. They hit it big at the slot machines or whatever. And so they going to give people car and all kind of stuff like that. And they don't realize that there is a gift tax that you're supposed to file. And that's another reason why you don't just put somebody's name on your bank account. If it's a lot, it's a lot of money. However, you, if it's over $14,000, and you expect them to then give it to somebody else, because if they're giving, even if you leave it for them to do, when they give it, then they've got to file this gift tax return.
You know, it reminds me of a funny story some years ago when Oprah gave away all these cars.
Oh, yeah.
And then people didn't realize they had to pay taxes on the cars. Is that similar to gift
instance? No, or is it... because, well, I don't know the details of that in particular. But the person receiving the gift does not have to pay the tax.
Oh,
okay. The person giving the gift, and it's a reporting tax rather than anything else. Until you give away more than $1 million over and above that 14 a year,
okay,
what starts to happen then is there's a reduction in the amount that you're exempt from estate taxes when you die, okay?
Okay.
So it's not like it's money out of your pocket, but it is something that's required by the law to do, and a lot of people don't realize it.
Very interesting.
Really don't realize it. And that, and that's also how Uncle Sam catches a lot of people, because they actually will go. I went to a meeting one time of estate planners, and a lady that worked with the IRS said that they will go through the deeds and find out when parents are giving houses to prop to children, and then get in touch with them and say, you didn't file a gift tax return.
Oh, wow.
So you got to be careful. You really do.
And Ethel, talk. Speaking of children, 529 plans are very popular.
Yeah, let me talk about that. And 529 plans are for children's education. Mm-hmm. You would talk with a financial advisor. They set them up, and you can give. Again, there's an exception there. You can give. I think it's up to $60,000, which is like five times the 14,000 or whatever it is. You can give it if you're a grandparent. That's how a lot of grandparents fund the children's college education. They put it in this 529 plan, and then that money, you know, grows until the child is ready to go to school. It's a great way to gift. Another way is there are what's called uniform transfer to minor accounts. All banks have them. You can put money into an account. You're the custodian, or somebody you name is a custodian, until that child reaches the age of majority, when that money now becomes that child's. I wouldn't recommend putting large sums of money in it. That at that point you want to trust, because they have an absolute right to get that money when they reach 18 or 21, depending on the state. And so you don't want to be putting $100,000, $50,000 or whatever into an account, and then the child, when they get to be 18, they get that money and they go kill the darn fool, sell with a Ferrari or something like that, okay? Also, regular gifting to churches. Gifting to churches, of course, are exempt from the gift tax thing. You can deduct that from your taxes, but you do need to have proof of it And that's where the church gives you a letter about that. But, yeah, I want to encourage people to start gifting to churches and to charities, all kinds, any kind, whatever is important.
And
to
especially
you.
As we approach the end of the year, I guess this is a very popular time where people do their last-minute gifting.
It's cold. I have one client that gives to Christian Union Ministries. She gave, you know, the old-fashioned railroad jumpsuits that they had. She gave, like, blankets and that clothing like that for people that could really use it, you know. And when you give things like that, you can deduct the cost of those things as well, okay?
Absolutely. This is helpful. As we shift to the other last segment of our show, are there any tips or reminders that you'd like to share with our listeners as I hand the show back over to you?
Well, the only thing I want people to say and to do is to really get your basic estate planning documents in place. Get your last will and testament. Get your power of attorneys. Get your medical directives. And what I do is I make a book for my clients, where it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. And so if God, and you tell whoever you've appointed where that book is, because I had somebody call me desperate, they can't find the documents, So now I'm putting books together and I'm saying, okay, you tell your child or your spouse or whoever it is, this is the document and this is the book. And in that book, I put life insurance policies, put bank accounts, put retirement accounts, all those kind of things. And that's important, I think.
Very important.
Yeah, yeah. So
thank
give me
you,
a call. My pleasure.
And
that's
share
what I
your,
do.
Your practice's phone number again with the listeners.
202-772-1988.
Great.
Give me a call. I'll be glad to work with you.
Thank
really
you.
And truly, yes.
Well,
yes.
Let's. I know you want to get to some good news.
Yes, and I wanted to also announce this Wednesday I'll be speaking at Unity of Fairfax from 6:30 to 8:30 in the atrium. That's at 2854 Hunter Mill Road, Oakton, Virginia. It's being presented by the Mildred Parks Society. It's called Establishing an Effective Estate Plan. Whether you wrote it or not, you have an estate plan. If you don't write it, the state has written one for you, okay? So we're going to talk about that at a Fairfax of Unity of Fairfax. You can contact Millicent Eubanks at millicent.eubanks, E-U-B-A-N-K-S, at wfadvisors.com. On November 22nd, I'll be presenting at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. They're going to have their Family Financial Literacy workshop. It's presented by the Family Financial Literacy Ministry, LeCount Davis Chair. That's Mount Calvary Baptist Church, 608 North Horners Lane, Rockville, Maryland, from 11 to 2. On November 23rd, the National Coalition of 100 Black Women will have their 30th anniversary luncheon. It's chaired by my cousin, Dr. Era Thomas Brown. The theme is Anatomy of Empowered Black Women, Bold, Blessed, and Beautiful. The guest speaker will be Rosalind Brock, chairman of the board of the NACP. The program will be moderated by Maureen Bunyan, co-anchor on WJLA-TV7. Tickets may be purchased by calling 703-920-1626 or going to Eventbrite 30th Anniversary Luncheon. I want to announce that the University of Baltimore has a pioneer program to help prepare HBCU students for law schools. According to the Afro newspaper, the University of Baltimore has launched a program to help students at Maryland's historically black colleges and universities for law school. So they're going to have a program that's divided into two parts. The first is a Baltimore Scholars Program, which gives 8 juniors and senior students a taste of the law school experience through a 2-week boot camp in January at the University of Baltimore Law School's campus, and then a second part, which is a 16-week LSAT preparation course, which can be taken by over 80 students. Okay, the program covers all but $100 of the course, and it is designed and taught by Princeton Review, which is the company that administers the test. So I strongly recommend that if you have a student or you know a student who is interested in going to law school and they're going to a historically black college in Maryland, that they look up this program because it sounds like it's going to be really, really good. Lastly, I want to again ask for your prayers for Mobetaman. He is very sick, and I ask you to put him on your prayer list and to keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell from Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Give me a call at 202-772-1988, and I will be back with you next week with some more empowering information. Have a good week. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another informative broadcast. To reach Attorney Mitchell, you may do so by calling 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. Or log on to her website, www.lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com.
1450 WOL Washington, D.C. and WPRS HD2 Waldorf, Washington. A Radio 1 station and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOLAM, where information is power.
Welcome to Keep It Up with the Joes. We are live in the studio. That's right, Dale. All right, right. 11:08.
We got the clap.
Unc and I sitting here, Mike. Buddha. Buddha said he getting dreads. He said he letting his hair grow a good dreads. That's what he said. Superstitious. Is that? Did you play it because the Democrats just got whooped up?
Oh, my God.
Is it superstitious because the Republicans just
slammed us? Us. I'm not. I can't say. I'm not a Democrat, but it's saying, you know.
You're not a Democrat?
No.
Oh, my gracious.
I'm actually independent.
You're a bad word. Well, independent.
Yeah, I'm independent.
That's the new thing.
But, well, I don't know, because independence lost in D.C. The independence laws in D.C. Yeah. So 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We'd like to hear from you. D.C. did stand up.
Yeah, they did. Came.
D.C. stood up. Yeah, oh, we got Walter. We got our
Walter.
We got Walter. Walter, hey. How you doing, Walter? Welcome to Keeping Up with Joseph.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Walter.
My prayers to the more better man. I heard he was.
Yes, I just heard myself.
What happened?
Yeah, because I just heard this morning.
You're not in good health? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So my prayers with him and his family.
Yes.
Hope he's come. Look, at night he was the best. He's all that and more. But let me talk about the massacre the massacre at election night. The Democrats, boy, nobody wanted to ride with.
We said it was coming, though. We said it was coming.
Yeah, because every year, like Clinton, like Bush, Obama had to go through that thing, too. But like I said, now the Republicans, don't be surprised if they throw that impeachment bomb at Obama.
I don't know if they're going to waste their time with that because I just don't think they're going to waste their time with trying to impeach him.
Well, they got to try to stop him from doing the most drastic thing, letting 12 million people.
The immigration.
Legal status with a stroke of a pen.
Well, he said that he would do executive order on that.
That's what I'm saying. That's the pen.
Yeah. And you hear John Boehner talk about he'll burn himself. I don't believe that. I think coming out of those red meat conservatives, they are going to do everything they can to ruin this man's second term. Well, and especially, I'm like this. Term limits, these dudes should not, people like Boehner, McConnell, they've been long life politicians. When their term is over, that's it. You don't get reelected. But they just love that politician money because that's all they do.
Access.
Power.
Access and power.
Power.
Got anything else, Walter? We got
no, that's it. But you guys, my prayers to the more better man and his family. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Walter. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
You know, and we're with you 100% on term limits.
You in favor of term limits?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, you know what? This crop of the Republicans just got elected this time.
Mm-hmm.
These are different Republicans because what that did with the Republican congressional body,
mm-hmm.
It dropped the age limit at 12 years.
Mm.
That's how young this group is.
Mm.
Off of the average was last year. Just one still is now until January.
So do you think they'll be more aggressive in their approaches?
We got young black to the mere love in Colorado.
And you got the black in South Carolina.
Well, you got Tim Scott. These people, they talk sensible about us.
So let me ask, do you think this will open up the eyes of other blacks now to look into the theories and the ideology of black republic or just the Republican Party now?
Well, she's the first black Republican up there, and she lost by a small margin the last time. And she's,
And this is a black woman.
Yeah, young woman. She's a Haitian immigrant daughter.
Oh, Haitian.
All right.
Wow. And so what do you think? Do you think America is – what do you think caused the change? What do you think caused the outsurge of the Republican winning? Do you think it was the lack of voter participation? Or do you think it was just
happened? Okay, when it was a wave with Obama, we also elected both Democratic houses, Congress and the Senate. So we brought in two bums along with the black president. And when he got elected, he was so green that that he had to listen to everything they said. He didn't write no Obamacare. He didn't do any of that. He would just had to be the top man
To enforce it.
To enforce it, right. So they had the power. So and they said, well, this is what we got to do. You remember, because Hillary tried to do it. You know, then Ted Kennedy wanted to do it. That was Ted last hurrah before he passed, you know.
And he endorsed President.
He the only one that came out in a...